Did you like that high-tech transition? We just walked the tripod over to the pulpit area. You know, we're going to continue in our series, Everyone Who Hears These Words. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount for now several weeks, and we're going to be starting a new chapter this morning, Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. So if you have your Bibles handy, go ahead and take those. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4 and then commenting on those verses here for just a moment or two as we're here together via Facebook Live. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to be reading this morning from the English Standard Version. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Please join me as we pray together. Father, we do thank you for these words of your Son. Thank you of this incredible lesson. Thank you for his care for his disciples, then his care for us, his disciples now. I pray, Almighty God, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to put into practice what you're telling us to do very clearly from this passage. And I ask that we would be generous with what you've entrusted to us, and that we would do so in a way that will bring honor to you. Thank you, God, for your word, your clear, beautiful, true, living word. We thank you that we can gather here in this moment to study and to learn, to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, in the area of giving for Jesus, it's not a matter of if. He's assuming that his disciples will be givers. It's not a matter of if, but when they will give. And so he's telling them how to do that. He directs them to do it for all of the right reasons. He's moving from a point where he was talking about what was inside of the heart, and now he's moving to talk about what people see on the outside and how people would live their lives. And he's focusing in on some religious activities that were prominent in that day, in the areas of giving, in the areas of prayer, and in the areas of fasting. And each of these are not if you do this, but when you do this. For today, I've entitled this message, When You Give. Next week, we'll look at when you pray. And so what does that mean for us as Christ followers? How do we do that? I want to call attention to this first verse because that's what Jesus is laying down here. It's a principle that he carries through. So if you're reading through verses 1 through 18 of Matthew 6, you'll see that Jesus is relating back then the matter of prayer and then the matter of fasting when he's talking about how they do that. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before people so that they will see you." And I'm going to focus in on two words here in this first verse. And the first word is beware. It means to be paying attention to be careful of, to guard. Now, those of you who were part of our softball team last year, you remember this mask that I would wear when I was pitching. And I won't put it on right now, but I got this mask because Jim started talking about how fast some of those balls would be hit to the pitcher. And I thought, you know, I do not want to take a chance of not being able to get my glove up fast enough. So I'm going to have one layer of extra protection here. I'm going to be cautious. I'm going to guard my face because it's a beautiful face and I don't want it to get hurt. So I'm guarding this face and I put this mask on, this guard. I'm very careful because this is something that I don't want to be damaged. And Jesus is saying, beware of, be cautious of, be on guard of how you do these deeds. You see, we can do all of the right things, but we can do them for all of the wrong reasons. And Jesus says, beware, be cautious. We are in a day that we, most of us, would not have even dreamed of even 6 weeks ago. That we are hearing warnings of keep your distance, wash your hands, stay home. We're hearing these warnings and we're heeding them, and it's for our good and it's for the good of those around us. We're paying attention. And so if we can quickly adjust and go about doing these things that we wouldn't have thought that we would have been doing, and we're following these directives, shouldn't we be even more attentive to the words of Jesus when he says, beware of practicing your deeds before people so that they will see you, so that you will be seen by them? For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So the words that we see here, the first one is beware. And I think that's a good warning for us, that we should be diligent to follow the words of Jesus. The second word that's in this verse is the word seen. And it's the same word that we get our word theatrical. So Jesus is saying, don't make what you do into a big production. He's telling his disciples to beware of taking these right actions for the wrong reasons. They're turning their piety into performance. And Jesus says, don't do that. We must avoid the same thing. You know, even doing something like this, we have to be cautious because we don't want to turn our actions into something that we make about us. Even us being able to do something like this morning shouldn't be about us, but about what we're able to share because God's given it upon our hearts to do that. I've been so encouraged to hear people doing good things. Even this week, I read about Southern Baptists giving masks, giving personal protective equipment out to hospitals, those that need it. And so that's a good thing. But I don't think that they were going out of their way to make a big production. It was just simply, here's the news story. We want people to hear it. It's the same thing for hearing about some of you who are donating your time. You're making some of those same efforts. You're putting it out there. But I want to give a word of caution here that we don't turn our piety into performance, so that when we attend worship, when we read our Bibles, when we pray, when we fast, when we give, we guard against that heart of pride, because we can be glory stealers. We can rob God of his glory. And Jesus says, don't do that. We can be like actors on a stage. We play to the audience. We seek their applause. We take center stage for our glory. We make much of us. And Jesus says, don't do that. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. There's another thing that I want us to notice here, and that's what Jesus then goes to, where he's talking about here in verse 2, sound no trumpet before you. He says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Apparently, the hypocrites made a show of their giving to those in need. They made much of themselves. They made a big fuss. They called attention to themselves. They announced their giving to get praise. And the same word here is glory. They they called attention. They did that. They announced their giving in order to get glory from others. These religious leaders hid their pride behind a mask of piety. Now, I want to go back to this mask, and that's the idea that for the actors of that day, that's where we get our word for hypocrite, and that's what Jesus is saying. Don't put your mask on when you're giving. Don't hide behind a mask. Don't pretend to be one thing in front of people and then something else at other times, because God knows our hearts. And that's what Jesus is driving home in all of these verses here in this section, verses 1 through 18. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't hide behind a mask. They call that attention to themselves. As Spurgeon said, Charles Spurgeon said, he notes this, to stand with a penny in one hand and a trumpet in the other is the posture of hypocrisy. You see, these religious leaders were play actors who took a sacred moment of giving to someone in need in order to point the spotlight on themselves. And if there's one thing that I hope that we can take away from this morning is that when we are giving, let's not point the spotlight on us, but let's point the spotlight on God. So instead of stealing His glory, instead of taking center stage and making much about us, let's point that spotlight to God. Let's make much of Him. Let's shine that spotlight on Him. Not sounding our own horn, not beating our own drum, not saying, look what we did, look how great we are, look at how wonderful we have done here in this area of giving, but doing it with humility and doing it with a sincere heart. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So your focus is on God, not on getting the attention or the applause of people. And Jesus knows that. He knows our tendency. So He's saying, don't point it and make it about you when you give. Whatever you do, whether it's giving or praying or fasting, don't call attention to yourself. He's saying, in fact, don't even call attention and make yourself aware of what you're doing. So He says in verse 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. In other words, the hand that would ordinarily be giving out, He's saying don't even let your left hand get so close that you're going to start clapping for yourself. Just have this beautiful way of not being self-absorbed, but being God-absorbed. Jesus is giving here this example. He's saying in the first instance, He's warning about seeking the praise of others. And here He's warning against seeking praise from ourselves. Jesus tells His disciples that when they give, they must not seek their own applause. They are to avoid being self-absorbed, constantly reminding themselves of their own generosity. They are to show a beautiful, humble forgetfulness. They are to give from a sincere, gentle heart. Their motives for giving must be pure. They are to give with their focus, not primarily on themselves. Here again, but their focus is to be on God. I've thought about different examples from God's Word of people who give. One of those examples is Joseph. God placed Joseph, who went through some really difficult times. Joseph was ridiculed by his brothers. Jesus was sold by his brothers into slavery. Joseph was taken into Egypt. Joseph was mistreated by a man who was in charge of him. Joseph was put in prison. Joseph was then released from prison and able to interpret a dream. And seeing that there was a famine that was on the way, God had put Joseph in a place of leadership to garner the attention of the Pharaoh, the leader of a nation, and to help lead that nation to have a storehouse of provisions during a year of years of plenty, 7 years, and then the 7 years of famine. And Joseph's brothers came, and Joseph's brothers received because of Joseph's place, of how God brought him to that place. Joseph was a generous giver. I think about David, who gave. He was generous, even to his enemy, Saul, who chased him relentlessly in a time of insanity. David refusing to take the life of King Saul. David then showing hospitality to one of Saul's grandchildren and taking this man into his home, feeding him, providing for him. David's generosity. I think of the stories in the New Testament of generosity, and one of those I want to read to you from Luke chapter 19. It's a story of a man transformed by God's Holy Spirit, by an encounter with Jesus. Luke chapter 19 talks about a man who was greedy. He was a tax collector, but he met Jesus, and his life was never the same. We read here in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, he, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus seems to be unaware of all this, or he's just not paying attention because his focus is on Jesus. It says in verse 8, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord. Now notice what he says. Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm impressed by Zacchaeus' quick change, by his generosity, a heart that's transformed because he has now received by faith this relationship with Jesus. He knows Jesus is his Savior. He knows Jesus is his King. He knows Jesus is his Lord. And he says, here, Lord, I'll give half. And if I've defrauded anybody, I'll give four times as much. Church, if we have defrauded anybody, let's be quick to give. But let's be sure that we don't call attention to ourselves. Let's step away from that mode of calling attention to ourselves, of seeking center stage. So, in other words, when we do give, when we go out and help people, when we help the poor, when we do good things, let's just make sure that we don't call the media first thing. If someone wants to come do a story about us, that's okay, but let's not get on the phone and say, you're not going to believe what we just did as a church. Let someone else talk about that. And when we go and do something to help a neighbor that's in need right now, when we go and buy groceries, don't post it all the time on social media. Step away from the phone. Put down the selfie. Don't think twice before you put it on Instagram. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. I'm just saying let's be cautious in calling attention to ourselves to put on that mask and to say, look at who we are. Let's always, always, always be saying, what are my motives for doing what I'm doing? Am I doing this because I'm having my focus on God? Or am I doing it simply to get attention for myself? Am I patting myself on the back? Are we glory seekers? Do we crave our own applause? I have to ask myself that question. Is that my main motive for what I do? Church, let's stop craving our own applause. I think if there's one thing this has helped do, it's to strip away some of our pretensions of what we're in control of. If this virus is saying we're not as in charge as we think we are, we don't have everything as figured out as we think we do. And we have this moment. God has given us a beautiful gift. And so what will we do with this time? Husbands, this is an auxiliary application, but husbands, give time to your bride, to your wife. Love her. Pay attention to her. Listen to her. I was guilty of that this week. Of Debbie said something to me, and then all of a sudden I'm like, about a few hours later, she says, well, I told you that already. You did? I don't remember that. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to stop and be intentional to focus on her and what she's saying. So husbands, pay attention. Give time to your wife. Wife, give time. Give encouragement. You know, that's a person I think of too who gave Barnabas. We read in Acts how he gave. He gave freely. The church talked about that. They announced that, but they didn't dwell on that. It just says Barnabas sold some land and he gave the proceeds. He laid it at the apostles' feet. But we also know Barnabas is someone else. His name, his nickname is Son of Encouragement. So I think of what he gave that was perhaps even more valuable than his money. That's his words of encouragement. And boy, do we need that right now. So this week, wife, give your husband encouragement. Give your children encouragement. Call people that you know this week. Give encouragement. Give, 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 give. And give it for all the right reasons. Give encouragement. We all need it. So how are you doing? No, really, how are you doing? Let me bless you. Let me speak words of life into you right now. So give that time, but then don't make a big deal about it. Be forgetful about it. Just say, I'm going on. So whatever we're doing, let's give freely. Let's give generously. Let's give our time. Let's give time to God's word. We have time. So pick it up and read it. I talked with a friend just last week who was feeling a bit discouraged, and this person said, you know what I did? I just put everything aside and I picked up my Bible and I started reading. We give God our attention. We give him our time. We give him uninterrupted moments to say, God, what are you saying? Through your word, pick that word up and read. Memorize. Pray. Forever and ever, we've been talking about the importance of letting God speak and us to be able to absorb and to have these moments. And people say, oh, I'll do that someday. Maybe we've all been there. I'll do that someday. I'll get around to reading that book. I'll read the Bible someday. Well, maybe that someday is right now. Pick it up. Give God that time. Seek his counsel. Make much of him. So when we give, let's be quick to seek after God's heart. Let's keep our focus on him as we give. There's so many examples of giving in God's word. Give, give, give. But I think the most important example that we see in God's word about giving is God himself. As I read in Deuteronomy, God gives the land. He says, I'm giving you this land that you're about to enter, this land that I promised. I'm giving this land to you. I'm giving you all of these cities. I'm giving you this land, this fruitful land. God's a giving God. And so because God is giving, he's calling us to be that same type of individual. The righteousness that Jesus is talking about demonstrates a love that we have for the one who gives and gives and gives. Dale last week talked about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God gives, and he's giving us this moment right now, this reprieve, this opportunity for us to seek after him. He's giving us this time to call upon him. I want to end this time by talking about how we can make the most of this time and what that could look like and how we can give good words of encouragement. We can give the good news. John Piper gives a 6-point summary of the gospel. He says this, number one, God created us for his glory. Reading in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 and 7, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. John Piper writes, God made all of us in his own image so that we would image forth or reflect his character and moral beauty. Number two, therefore, every human should live for God's glory. You see, we shine the spotlight on him. We make much of him. These words from 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The way to live for the glory of God is to love him, Matthew 22:37, trust him, Romans 4:20, be thankful to him, Psalm 50, verse 23, obey him, Matthew 5:16, and treasure him above all things, Philippians 3:8 and Matthew 10:37. When we do these things, we image forth God's glory. Number three, nevertheless, we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Romans 3:23, these same words, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. Romans 1:21 through 23. You see, none of us has loved or treasured or thanked or obeyed God as we ought. Number four, therefore, we all deserve eternal punishment. The wages of sin is eternal death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. Those who did not obey the Lord Jesus will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life, Matthew 25 verse 46. Yet in his great mercy God sent his only Son Jesus Christ into the world to provide for sinners the way of eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, 1 Peter 3:18. So number six, therefore, eternal life is a free gift to all who trust in Christ as Lord and Savior and supreme treasure of their lives. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Philippians 3:8. We have a gift to tell people this good news. What will we do with this time? Will we share this good news? Will we send forth this good news? Will we proclaim this good news? I know that this is an area that God is calling me to be even more bold. And even at times of social distancing, and trust me, when I'm in the grocery store, I just want to run up and hug people. You know, that's already kind of weird in a time that's not like it is right now. But I just want to tell people, it's going to be all right. How can I pray with you? I just see the forlorn looks, the kind of blank stares that we're all having, the sense that I've had even yesterday of like, I feel like I'm in some kind of strange funhouse where the mirrors and the walls and the floors are just not quite right. And I'm trying to walk my way through and feel my way through this time. And I'm certain that many of you are feeling that same way, that we're in this in a way that it's going to be maybe longer than we want it to be. And it's going to call upon us to be even more creative and sacrificial than we can even fathom at this very moment. So this is a word for us right now. Let's be cheerful, sacrificial, relentless givers. Let's give for the glory of God. And when we give, let's shine the spotlight on our Father, because he will reward us. You want to talk about rewards? Listen, the reward, we will be with him. We will see Jesus. We will receive an unfading crown. We will have death, sin removed, reward. We will hear, if we remain faithful to him throughout, that applause from our Father. Well done, good and faithful servant. He's welcoming us. He's rewarding us. We might not have that now, but I'm telling you, when you do give, you know this. The reward is seeing the need met. That's that moment. And you're giving because you see a need, you're stepping in, you're helping, you're giving to your neighbor, you're offering that encouragement, you're writing that card, you're putting yourself perhaps in a way that would be like some of the healthcare workers and our other frontline workers right now. You're putting your own life on the front line. And you're giving because that's what God has called you to do. That's what he's called all of us to do. So as we give, when we give, let's give for the glory of God. Let's shine the spotlight on him. Let's pray together. Father, in this moment, we're grateful that you have called us to be part of your family. We're grateful that we know you. We're grateful that we have the assurance of everlasting life through your Son, Jesus. It's not a righteousness that we have earned. It's a righteousness that you've given us by faith. Thank you, God, for your gift, your indescribable gift of your Son, Jesus. We are in awe of you, God. We applaud you. We adore you. We want to make much of you. Help us to be people who will constantly seek after your heart in all that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' wondrous name. Amen. We're going to sing this last song.